time about going over Joshua chapter 9. Stay with us. Oh, we weren't live streaming, were we? Yeah, too late. Joshua 9, verse 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan in the hills and in the valleys and in all the coasts of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite, the Perizzites, the Hivite and the Jebusites, heard thereof that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that what Joshua had done in Jericho and Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua into the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, Peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, Who are ye? From whence ye come ye? And they said unto him, From a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, Take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, We are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This is our bread we took, hot for our provision, out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them." You can be seated. Been dealing with the battles in Canaan land. And I want to look at just for a few minutes tonight the battle with the Gibeonites. We know they were descended from the Amorites. And they were from one of the sons of Canaan. And they faced a battle here. Not necessarily a physical battle, but there was a battle that went on with the Gibeonites. And when we look at this scripture and you see the enemy, we know that Jericho was ready to fight. Ai certainly did fight. But here the battle is coming from another, from a different angle, from a different approach, from a different avenue that they've never faced before. I want to say this, when you look at it in our battles, a lot of times we'll get accustomed to fighting a certain way or get accustomed to certain battles. Let me just say this, the devil and the flesh and the world is not going to make it easy on you by no means. There's going to come opposition. There's going to come opposition, obstacles from every angle imaginable. Places and methods that you never thought they would come from. Ways in which you have never went before. Now, you're going to face things not necessarily that anybody else has not faced. We're all going to face things and have battles in this Canaan land that we're in. But I want to tell you, if the enemy can get you to lose a battle, whatever method he has to use, whatever angle he has to come at you. You've heard people say this before, I was blindsided. And certainly we find here that Israel, in a sense, is blindsided by the Gibeonites. They're taken from a different angle, a different approach. Certainly they were ready had the Gibeonites come running up to them with swords and spears and shields and their horses and their chariots and all that. They certainly would have been ready to face that battle. But now they've come at them from a different angle. And I want to look at that for just a few minutes. And the battle that they faced with the Gibeonites. Now, we look here, I want to mention just a few things and we'll be done. This battle was thrown at them, or thrown on them, through deception. Through deception. Now, the most sure way, from being deceived, if we could be deceived in any area, and one of the areas that the devil likes to deceive us, and the world that we're deceived in, is the Word of God, deceiving us by misrepresenting or misinterpreting the Word of God. We know that was the first thing He did in the Garden of Eden. But when we look at, and I want you to turn me to Psalm 12 for just a minute. I want us to look there for just a few minutes. Psalm 12, I think that's interesting. Psalm 12, verse number 6, the Bible says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver, tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So we know the words of God are sure, and they're steadfast. And the Bible tells us that they're purified seven times. And that means completed. They're whole and everything. "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So the Word of God is preserved. And when you look in Psalm 12, and you look here in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." And there is an assault that you are going to face, a battle that you're going to face. And it's on me, you, it's on our children. He talks about it here. He said, "For the faithful fell from among the children of men." Excuse me. "They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart do they speak. They shall cut off all flattering, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, 'With our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are on. Who is Lord over us?'" Now, we look at deception here. And this battle's going to come at you. Some of the battles that you're going to face is going to be thrown at you by means or by methods of deception. Now, I want to say this. If the devil can deceive you, and that's what he... Listen, I believe a lost person can be deceived. But I certainly do believe this, that a saved child of God can fall into deception. No doubt. And we're told and we're warned to be careful about that. And the way he does this is with a double heart. Psalm 12, verse number 2. "With flattering lips, with a double heart do they speak." Now, what is a double heart? It's one... A double heart will result in emptiness in our life and vanity. And what it is, the devil can get our mind off of serious things or get our mind off of more serious issues. He'll do that. He'll do whatever he has to do to get our mind off of the issues that are serious. He'll do it with a double heart. If he can get you distracted, let me say that. And listen, in your battles, and if he can get you distracted away from the purpose that God has for your life, and get you sidetracked, let me say that, and get your affection set on something else, get your, not only just your affection, but your attention set on something else. He'll do that too. So with a double heart, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But when you look here at the Scripture also, in chapter 12, so let us, the Bible says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. So if He can get your, get your heart off the Word of God, He does it also with dialogue. Flattery, the Bible says in Psalm 12, verse number 3, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things." Listen, emptiness and the rather double heart will lead to flattery. It becomes the spoken language. Listen, flattery does. When people give themselves to vanity, I want to say at least to flattery, and when they give themselves a double heart, and listen, our culture tells us, and listen, vanity is saying only what other people want to hear, and hearing only what you want other people to say to you. I mean, we know that. We live in a cancel culture society, do we not? If you don't say what people agree with, then they'll cut you off. But with flattering tongue. And certainly they did that to the children of Israel. They did that with a flattering tongue. Now, when you look here in chapter 9 of our text, they come to Joshua, these Gibeonites do, and they say, well, they say, we heard about what God did for you in Egypt. They never did mention what the Lord had done at Jericho or Ai. Details, details, details. And I want to tell you, the devil is good about leaving out details, is he not? And he's good about leaving out things that need to be detailed. Now, when you look at flattery, and you think about what the enemy will do to you to get you to lose a battle, he'll use flattery in your life. How when they came to Joshua three times they said, well, we're going to be your servants. We're going to be your servants. We'll be your servants. And certainly Joshua and the princes of Israel said, man, that sounds really good. Boy, they just want to be a servant to us. And that sounds pretty good. That sounds like that's going to benefit me really, really well. And a lot of times we look at it that way and we think about it. Listen, he'll use dialogue. Listen, as they came to the children of Israel, they left out part of what God had done. They didn't give the whole story. They said, we know what God done in Egypt. We know how He helped you fight those enemies in the wilderness. Of course, they didn't want to mention what He'd done, what they had done in Jericho and Ai, because they were a part. They were going to be susceptible to that. Listen, devil don't mind using a little bit of Scripture and leaving out some others. And he don't mind talking about a little bit of something else and leaving out others. And that's what's happened here in the Gibeonites in this battle they're facing. They've got a battle. And so the Gibeonites say, we've heard about God. We've heard about your Lord. And we've heard about what He's done in Egypt. That sounds really good. But listen, the whole premise of the issue of them coming was because they didn't want to be victims like Jericho and Ai did. And so they leave that part completely out. And I want to say in this battle, the devil used flattery or he used dialogue. Yes, he'll use part of the Scripture. He'll use a portion of it. And he may leave out a crucial part that really has a influence on your life. Get you to ignore some other things. Get you focused on something else. Then he uses... this battle... Stone Adam through deception is seen in a double heart. It's seen in dialogue. It's seen in defiance. Psalm 12, verse 4, who have said with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are on. Who is Lord over us? Now I'm reminded of what Isaiah 30 and verse number 9 says. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not. And to the prophets, prophesy not. And us right things, speaking us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path. And they say, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Basically what they're saying in Isaiah 30, hey, we want you to adjust your speech for us. Don't say anything that's going to be harmful to us. That's so they're defined. I want to tell you, in your battle, you're going to face deception. So there is thrown at you through deception, whatever ways the devil can deceive you. And people, he'll use people to deceive you. But also I want to say this battle comes and it will try your discernment. It'll try your discernment. What is discernment? Discernment, a discerning mind is one that demonstrates wisdom and insight that goes beyond what is seen and heard. And discernment comes from God or being close to Him. You know, Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 2 says, "Is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of the king is to search out a matter." What does that mean? It's the glory of God to conceal a thing. Let me tell you this. In your life, God's not going to give you all the answers in boxcar letters in the sky. But the Bible says it's the glory of a king to search out a matter. What God wants you to do is, listen, there are some things that you'll never know. There are some things that you'll never be privy to unless you get along with God by yourself and listen and get to a place where you're at total and complete submission to Him, where you can hear from heaven. Now, you say, what's the difference? What does discernment mean? That's knowing what the difference between what is right and what's almost right. Discernment is. Look here. The Bible tells us that it tried their discernment. First of all, it tried their senses. Now look here. They come to Israel and they come in the camp there at Gilgal and they say, look at our moldy bread. Look at our worn out shoes. But look at our old wine bottles. They said, man, we just took this bread when we left our country. We took it out of the oven hot and fresh and now it's all moldy. Look how far we traveled. In actual fact, the Gibeonites were only less than 25 miles away from where the children of Israel were anyway. It tried their senses. So the Bible tells us here in chapter 9, look what it says here in verse 14. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. So what did they do? They tasted that bread tastes like it's old. This wine tastes like it's old. These shoes look like they're old. Their garments are wore out. Clotted up. And it looks old. That's right, what they said. It tastes old, it looks old, it smells old, it feels old. Everything sounds right. It tried their senses. I'm going to tell you, the devil is such a master at being able to make you think something is right when it's not. Not only did it try their senses, it tried their sensitivity. Now, there's a hint here of Joshua saying, hey, let's just back up just a minute. Even the princes of Israel and saying, I don't know about all this. The Bible says here in verse number 8, and they said to Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said to them, who are ye and from which come ye? And they said to him, from a very far country, thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. And they said, verse number 7, the men of Israel said to the Hivites, peradventure you dwell among us, how shall we make a league with you? There is some sensitivity going on here. They're almost sensitive. And saying, well, this ain't right. You remember when Joshua, or rather Isaac, was dying, and Esau had sold his birthright to Jacob, and Jacob disguises himself as Esau. He puts hair on his arm, and he makes himself smell. He brings the venison to Isaac, and he says, come here. He said, the voice of Jacob. He said, let me feel you. So he feels you. And so, you know what he did? He said, boy, he said, the arms are that of Esau, but the voice is that of Jacob. You know what he went by? He went by what he felt instead of what he should have went by was that, hey, he said, the voice is that of Jacob. There was a word he should have stuck with instead of feelings. You know what I'm saying? And that's what they're doing here in the Gibeonites is telling him, hey, taste these victuals. You'll find out this bread's old and moldy. And they said, boy, it tastes old and everything looks old. Everything looks right what they're saying. But they were lying the whole time. And I'm going to tell you, the devil will slip you a false bill of goods. And he'll make you think everything is right because, listen, you're basing everything off of feelings and your senses, and not basing it off of what Jacob or Isaac should have when he heard Jacob's voice. That should have been the telltale sign. Hey, this is what I need to listen to, is the voice or the word. So it's thrown at us through deception. It'll try our discernment, sensitivity. Let me just say this and I'll be done. I said that 2 minutes ago. Not only that, but when you look at it, you need to remain true in your dilemma. This deception is going to come, be thrown at you with the deception. This battle is going to be thrown at you with deception. It's going to be trying your discernment. But then you need to be true in your dilemma. Now here's the thing about this, and I'm done. When we think about being true in our dilemma, listen, don't bail out. I thought about when we look at it, and I thought about the promises that people make. And I guess this mainly applies to, and I've heard people make the statement, well, boy, that marriage was a mistake. And it may have been. But now it's the will of God. You better believe that. It was not the will of God for them to make a league with the Gibeonites. He told them in Exodus. He told them in Numbers. He said, don't make any leagues. Don't make any pacts with anybody. And he said, don't do it. But they done it. So I'm going to tell you, when that happens, sometimes you just got to own it. It's your baby now. Can I put it that way? It is. It's your baby. Own it. Despite. Now, they had to deal with the murmurings that came involved. When word got out 3 days later that the children of the Gibeonites were fakes and they were frauds, everybody got, man, and the Gibeonites said, you can't do nothing about it now. You done made a league with us. And it was disaster for Saul to break the league with the Gibeonites, because the Bible says when he did, the Bible says David went and inquired of the Gibeonites, what are we going to do to make amends? And all of Saul's sons had to be put to death because they had made a league with the Gibeonites, and Saul had broken that league with the Gibeonites as their king. But I thought about this. A lot of times you're going to make mistakes, but let me just say something about the grace of God in that area. I'm not for messing up. I'm not for making mistakes. I'm not. But thank God there's grace. Amen. Thank God there's mercy for it. Amen. And God worked that situation out. Believe it or not, the Gibeonites really didn't cause Israel all of that much trouble as you'd think. So in spite of all the murmurings, and the Bible says that the princes, the children of Israel, the congregation murmured against the princes of Israel. They murmured against them. Murmur is a half-revealed, half-concealed complaint, is it not? And a lot of times we murmur about things, and it's because we got ourselves into that situation. That's right. God said don't do it. How many of God, knowing God told you not to do something, and you did it anyway? And now it's your baby, and you got to deal with it. Is that not right? You got to deal with the consequences. But I'm glad God can work it out. And in spite of the murmurings, in spite of what they missed. Now, I think part of the reason why the children of Israel were murmuring, because they went in to take up the Jebusites and the Hebusites. Here's the Gibeonites. And they ain't got no spoil when it comes to the Gibeonites. They done made a league with them. And there's no spoil there to be taken. So they are missing out on some things. But I want to look at the ministry for just a minute. How God can use that in ministry. Now listen, don't write yourself off when you do stupid things. When you make a mistake in a battle, don't write yourself off. Don't write everybody else off either. Because God used The Bible says, he said, you can be water carriers and you can be wood cutters. And they did that. It was used in the ministry at the altar, the congregation, the altar, in the work of the tabernacle. God turned that thing around. Although they did not, and they should not have. Listen, I know people that have gotten married out of the will of God and say, what do I do now? I've got to fix this thing. Listen, the best thing you can do is stay with it. Stay with it. And let God work out the details. Because it's a done deal now. That's right. And I know folks, listen, I'm not trying to bring up any sins. I know folks that have gotten divorced and have gotten remarried. And I heard one stupid preacher say one time, what you need to do is go divorce your second wife and get married back to your first wife. Now listen, you don't want to make a mess worse than what happened the first time. Right. Hey. That's right. Just let God fix it. And don't bail. Don't bail. Hey, if you're in a second marriage right now, don't bail. If you're in your first marriage, don't bail. Amen. If you're in a marriage right now that you think, boy, this is a disaster. What am I going to do? I got out of God's will. Listen, first thing is don't get married out of God's will. But if you do, hey, stick with it. And God may turn that thing around. He did for the Gibeonites. And they were not really a big trouble. Hey, I won't tell you, Israel's biggest problem was herself. And it wasn't really the Gibeonites that gave them trouble. But there was a serious issue with Saul destroying the Gibeonites or killing the Gibeonites. So when you look at this, don't bail. Stay true during your dilemma. Hey, if you messed up, just own it. And I say, my mama used to say you messed up royally. That's right. Just own it and let God work out the rest. You go to try to fix things yourself and doing it your way, I will tell you, you better follow God. That was their first problem anyway. They didn't follow God in the first case. And now when God says, hey, you've done made a league with them, you're stuck with it, you do what I say, if you break it, if you go against it, I will say there's all these battles that are going to be come up against us. The devil's going to come at us from every angle. I say just stay faithful to the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Pray, God, that you touch each and every heart here tonight. Lead, guide, and direct. We'll give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I preached entirely too long. Let's do something real quick. We need... Here, Dalton, come here a minute. Pass out these little papers. All right. Hey, J.D., run back here.